Welcome back, everybody. Joined by new tennis coach Andres Bustani, who's in his first season with the men's program. Joined us in January, and the team's A, on a roll, and B, heading into the stretch run. So we figured it'd be a good time to get him on the Getting to Know show. And coach, thanks for the time.
Well, thank you for having me.
I want to jump right into it. You guys started slow, 1-6. Now you look at the record, 4-6. Is there a tangible change that you've noticed with the guys? Is it kind of just getting into a rhythm? What are a couple things that have been going right for you guys over the last couple weeks?
Yeah, I think we started playing teams that were relatively better than us, I think, and it was tough to kind of get going, and obviously confidence for the guys. You know, when you're in a stretch that you're losing some matches, it's tough to, you know, stay motivated. But I think we just kept working on it and kept practicing, and things just started to turn around for us. And yeah, I think we just got to keep the momentum going heading into this weekend.
How do you, and you're a relatively inexperienced coach from a team standpoint, but how did you kind of, how do you keep the spirits up when the losing is occurring, just so you can take advantage of a point in the schedule where, hey, we can get some wins, hey, we can get some conference victories, and make this season something to, you know, build off of, rather than just kind of go by the wayside? How do you keep the guys on board, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, I think I try to make them focus in more of the process and the results. You know, I just started with them, so I didn't know them like right away. So it took me a little bit to get to know them and how they played, and just, you know, get to know things. So I focus more on, you know, we did good here this week, and, you know, maybe next week we need to focus on this, and just kind of focus more on the process of how to get to where we need to be than just the loss itself or the win itself. So that's kind of how we stay motivated and just try to focus on, you know, the future and what the process is to get to that point where we're going to win some matches.
Something that, as myself as a sports fan, you know, when I root for one of my teams that's losing, I'm always like, I'm still watching and I'm still saying, man, I hope this occurs or I hope that occurs. And I guess you're kind of speaking to like, to building good habits and, hey, if we're not gonna, we can't beat this guy, but let's execute something here and there. And I think that goes a long way, and it's probably tough to communicate too, to younger guys, you know, still maturing, still finding themselves. So obviously there's something that's connecting, because, you know, taking advantage of, you know, the last three matches is a great thing. The Camden win was your first, and I on my little cheat sheet here, I have in quotes, your big win as a coach. Obviously a conference championship, stuff like that, those are the big wins that you're working towards. But did that feel, you know, coming home Sunday, did that feel like, hey, that's a really nice first step? Or was it just like, all right, we got that behind us, let's move forward?
I mean, I think both. I think when we played John Jay that Friday, that was kind of like a more competitive match where we said, all right, this was actually really good. It was, you know, at one moment the match was tight, and, you know, both matches could have gone either way, but we ended up pulling it together. And that was kind of like a moment where we're like, okay, you know, this was good, it was competitive, and then we just kept going. I think, you know, the conference win, it felt good, but it didn't feel like we were done. It felt like, you know, this was just one thing, and we're just kind of focusing on the rest. You know, we have to play Ramapo, which is a tougher school. We already play them. I think overall, we had some competitive matches. Results might have not looked that way. But I think the guys just, you know, especially the new people that hadn't played them before, they realized that, oh, this is, you know, this is who they are. They're not as maybe as tough as they thought they were. So, you know, maybe going into that, we can change a little bit and not give them, you know, the match right away, and just kind of stay with things throughout it.
Kind of push them. I think you kind of alluded to this with your last answer. You have big matches left, but when you're done with the season, when you look, maybe it's at the athletic awards banquet, or maybe, you know, mid-May, when you're able to kind of reflect and say, hey, this worked, this didn't. Do you have any, I guess, tangible goals that you would have hoped to accomplish? Or now, as you look at the last four or five matches or so, are there any specific goals that you're trying to get across to the guys? Or is it just, you know, continue with that process, continue with the improvement?
I mean, for them, I think it's just kind of continuing and focusing on the process, because most of them are going to come back next year. But, you know, coming so late into the game, it was kind of like, for me at least, it was at least try to do as good as they did last year. I know they had a deeper team last year and, you know, a lot more players. So one of my goals was to really try to get, you know, level on at least result-wise. So I think we're doing good and, you know, we're getting there. So that was one of my goals, to really try to push and be there competitively, because I knew we had lost a few guys from last year, and we were coming in with guys that hadn't played before on the lineup. So it was one of my goals to try to be as competitive as it could.
Biggest areas of improvement from a program standpoint. I'm not looking for, you know, technically, you know, so-and-so needs a better forehand or backhand or serve, whatever. What are some of the biggest things that you see, you know, from a program standpoint?
Yeah, I think for sure, well, like I just said, we need a deeper team. We're dealing with just seven kids right now, which, you know, sometimes things come up and one can't come and, you know, you're done with six and you don't have a lot of options. So I think just the program, we need to, you know, do better recruiting and keep bring people in that, you know, can bring depth to that lineup and just have more numbers.
Your favorite part about coaching collegiately so far? Obviously, there's so much more to learn and so much more to experience, but what are some things that you've liked so far, you know, that kind of make it worth it, if you will?
I mean, tennis is usually a very individual sport, and I really enjoy the team aspect of it. And then being the leader of, you know, a set of kids that, you know, maybe you can help and have them, you know, be committed and positive when they're playing and, you know, help them through that. That's a really exciting part. And when you see the results going on, right, you focus on the process. But then when the results come, it's great to see. So, you know, it's just really exciting to help them through the matches. And then when they get to where they need to be and, you know, get those results, it's really exciting to see.
Take me into your tennis background, whether it's a young kid picking up a racket at four, moving through high school, but give us a taste of, I guess, how you came into the sport, why you like the sport, and that type of thing.
Yeah, I started because of my parents. They started playing late, probably in like the late 30s or so. So they just kind of threw me in there and gave me a racket and started playing, I think, when I was maybe six or seven. And then from then on, I just loved it. It was something that I just wanted to do more and more. And, you know, maybe when I was 10, I was playing, you know, 2 hours a day, four or five days a week. And I was living in Mexico City at the time. And then when I moved to Cancun, when I was about 13, I enrolled in like a full-time performance, high performance academy. And that's really when I kind of peaked, and I was playing, you know, 3.5 hours a day, 5 times or 6 times a week. And I just loved it. I mean, it's something that I really enjoyed, and being out in the court, it was like my safe place.
It's amazing what you can accomplish when you practice a lot.
Yes.
I played AAU baseball growing up, and yeah, high school was great, whatever, but the improvements that you felt from that type of competition and those long practices and just, you know, going up against the best, it was, you know, so beneficial to me. Now, you played in college. What was your favorite part about playing collegiate tennis?
I think it's also the team part of it. I mean, it was a different view of things, you know, being on a team and then being kind of the leader of the team. But one of my favorite parts about playing college was being part of like this big group of people that, you know, you were all kind of working towards the same goal. That was definitely one of the highlights. It you know, it also helped that you're kind of also playing for yourself, and you kind of have to fight for a spot in the lineup with your teammates, so it makes it competitive and it just makes it fun. And that was really one of my best, you know, the best highlights of playing college.
I'm going to kind of go out of order here, but you kind of alluded to your background, you know, Mexico City, Cancun. What was that like? I mean, you know, Rutgers Newark prides itself on diversity. You obviously have a different background than a lot of coaches, at least that I've come across in my 10 years in my career. Is that helpful to you? Is that something that you pull from? Is it just kind of like, yeah, that's the way it is?
No, I think it helps. I mean, I've seen a lot of different people throughout my, you know, my life that, you know, do things a certain way. You know, being from Mexico, I got a lot of, you know, coaching techniques or strategies from a lot of different coaches, and then, you know, coming here, you see other types of cultures and coaching and, You know, so I think it helps. It gives you a lot of information that you can use. So it definitely helps.
I'm watching this show on Netflix, Ugly Delicious. David Chang, famous. Yeah, so it's a great show. It's a different way of it's a different type of food show.
Yeah.
And the third show focuses on tacos, and they show this, and it's tacos all over the world. His idea is that you know, just because it you know tacos are associated with Mexican food doesn't mean somebody in Copenhagen can't make a great taco. Anyways. They show this market in Mexico City, that massive market. Did you ever go there?
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the bucket list things that now I want to go do because it just looks incredible. Like all the food and all fresh food in North America comes through that market, and I was just blown away by that. Anyways, back on track. You kind of mentioned it just a second ago, but when you're out there coaching, and I was talking about it with my friends last night in this, you know, the stupid LeBron James versus Michael Jordan debate.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, if I was creating a basketball player, I would want LeBron James. But if I was picking one guy that I needed one win to play for my life, I would pick Michael Jordan. Are there coaches and tennis players that you kind of developed your style or what you're trying to get your guys to do that you pull from? Like, do you say, hey, you know, are you a Nadal guy and you like, you know, his kind of style or power or what? I love tennis, watching, you know, big tennis matches as a fan, but I don't know the finer points. So what are some things, I guess, that you pull from good players?
I mean,
a long-winded question.
But. Yeah, no, I think from, like, players, you can't really try to guys to do kind of the same thing they do. I think everybody has, you know, especially starting with technique, I think everybody has their own kind of style. But there is something that I mean, from the coaching standpoint, I do go back to my college coach. He was a very different, you know, guy, and he did a lot of different things that I've never seen in my life. When you came to practice, you were expecting, you know, certain things, and this was like a total opposite, but it really kind of helped you to expand and see a lot of different things. And I think I pull a lot from what he taught me into this. Whatever doesn't really work, I have to adjust and kind of move things around. But I think overall it's having everybody on the same maybe strategy and the way they're playing style. That way I can really help them develop. But if they're just out there randomly, you know, doing things, that's kind of when it gets tough. I don't really pull like technique specifics from players, just more of like a strategy and what they should be doing when they're playing out there.
So I have fleeting or memories of watching big tennis matches as a younger guy, but my biggest memory I have is somewhere in like 2007-08, going down to the beach for a tournament, or going down to the beach to have fun with my friends, and then us waking up at like 5:30 or 6 in the morning to watch Federer, Nadal, Wimbledon, and there was weather delays and whatever. And quite honestly, I don't think I remember who won the match, but I remember just how fired up we were to watch that. What are some memories that you have of awesome tennis that you watched growing up, or maybe even playing, or kind of that
way? Yeah, I mean, that one for sure is huge. Now that I think about it, I think it was Federer who won it, but...
I do too, but...
One of my favorite things is when I was, I don't know, maybe about 11, I was a ball boy at a professional tournament in Acapulco. That tournament now is huge. Everybody goes to it nowadays. Like, Nadal won it. That was his first professional tournament he won in his career. And then kind of from then on, he won it, like, I don't know, maybe 5 more times. And he was coming back this year to it. And, you know, everybody goes there now. So it was like really cool experience to see all this, you know, maybe lower players at the moment playing there when I was 11. And now that, you know, all these years later, now they're like 20 in the world, or, you know, and all these big players are coming down to see that. So that was definitely one of the best experiences.
And then growing up, James Blake, the American, was from Fairfield, Connecticut, where I was born. So we always would root for James Blake. Yeah. And, you know, we got to see... I remember sitting in the worst seats at the Open, trying to watch Agassi in that last—not his last match, but that last run.
Yeah.
So I'm there with you on good tennis memories. That's awesome. The ball boy story. Favorite tennis player now?
Roger Federer, for sure. Always has been.
Anti? And always will be. Are you anti Nadal?
I wouldn't say that. I love the way he plays and I love his passion and that, but since he's Federer's biggest fan, I just don't root for him. It's not like I don't like him. I think he's a great guy and, you know, I love his playing style. It's just when it comes down to Federer and Nadal, I just go with Federer.
It's totally fair. he's fantastic. Yep. The longevity is just staggering to me.
It is crazy.
Let's do some quick fires.
Yep.
Do you cook?
I do when I have time, yes. I love cooking.
Like what?
Mexican food, Italian food, everything really. I mean, I take a lot of my mom's recipes and try to do them myself. They don't come out great sometimes, but, you know, got
to
try.
You can send them over to me anytime. I'd be happy to try to try to get them live. Favorite food?
Italian food, I think.
Any books that stick with you or that you just enjoy reading? I'm reading a book on this TV series, The Wire, right now.
Yeah, I'm going to sound like a total nerd, but Harry Potter. That's definitely
my fiance is a huge Harry Potter fan, has read all the books and is pushing me to read them, and I know I will.
Yeah.
It's just getting that time commitment.
Yeah,
to say,
it's
okay,
a lot of books, a lot of pages, but they're great.
But
I love them.
They fly, and
yep.
I said I'll read Harry Potter if you read the Dragon Tattoo series. That was a fantastic, series of books. Favorite vacation spot? You're kind of different because you're.
I'm from a vacation spot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really have a specific vacation spot, but my family has like a lake house kind of about 2 hours away from Mexico City, and that's kind of like our vacation spot when we, you know, we all get together and we go down there and spend time. Nowadays, I do, when I go back home, it's a vacation basically,
yeah.
So it's kind of nice to have too.
Restaurant, local or not?
Restaurant, yeah. Look, I mean, I live in Montclair now, and there's a ramen place that I love.
Is it the Ani ramen?
There's another one, Fujiya ramen. I've been to both. Ani has like a better environment, but I like the food better at Fuji.
Yeah, I would go
yeah.
for the food over
yeah.
the environment all
yeah.
the time. I asked about Ani because there's one. I live in Jersey City, and there's
okay.
one in that area of Grove Street now. And I was actually like thinking, I was like, when can I want to try it out?
Yeah.
But hey, maybe I gotta go
it's
to Montclair.
Good, yeah.
If you had a sport other than tennis, what would it be?
I played basketball growing up, and that was the only other sport that I was really good at with besides tennis, but ended up messing up my leg and couldn't play basketball anymore. But now growing up, I think I would like to try volleyball. Volleyball is really fun to watch, and I kind of got into it when I came to college and kind of saw that, you know, in Mexico, there's not a lot of exposure for volleyball. So just coming here and seeing volleyball, that's something that I would love to try.
It's weird. I've always fancied myself a sports fan, a diverse sports fan. But until I started in college athletics at Stevens in Hoboken, I didn't even realize men's volleyball was a sport,
yeah.
let alone a collegiate sport. And then now here, you know, our team has been pretty good at 3 of the last 4 years. So, you know, the athleticism you see is
very impressive.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Movies.
I'm gonna go back to Harry Potter.
I've seen
all of them about 10 times. But I mean, I watch a lot of things. Every movie that comes my way, I'll watch. And TV shows, I binge a million at a time. So
what
I'm a
ones?
Big.
That was the next question. TV shows.
I mean, I watch a lot. I'm gonna go with How to Get Away with Murder, Scandal.
I like Scandal.
Grey's Anatomy. I've watched. I watch a lot of stuff.
I can't get, and not to bring it back, my fiance is also watching Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
So when I'm home, you know, if I get home after a game or if I'm working from home, you know, recapping whatever, Grey's Anatomy is on in the background, and I'll make, you know, a comment. I was like, wasn't this the last episode or whatever? Because it's, you know, it's good, and she's smart, and Shonda Rhimes.
It makes me feel like I'm a doctor now. So.
Yep. You're like, oh, I remember that. So that's all I got. What are some things that you see the guys do this weekend? As the last question, I know you got Albertus Magnus, another conference match. What are some things you like to see executed?
I mean, I think we just gotta, you know, keep what we're doing and keep that momentum going. I think right off the bat, we really try to go out strong. We don't want to lose too much time trying to adjust, and you know, because then that's kind of when it gets tough. So. I always tell them right away, start aggressive, and I really want to see that special in doubles starting. I try to get to my guys as much to the net as I can and try to be aggressive up there. You know, and then in singles, everybody has their own things that I've been working on. So just, I would like to see them continue that on from the weekend on. So hopefully they do that.
Well, you guys are in a nice stretch, 3 straight wins, 4-6 overall. You know, looks like you're going to get into the conference tournament, which I think is, you know, a great accomplishment in and of itself. Especially in your first year and especially coming in January. But it's been a pleasure. Coach, best of luck this weekend. Best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
And we'll talk soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Rob.